I'd fuck the Onceler.
Oh, hey.
Hey, girl, hey.
Episode three. Here we are.
Here we are.
Week
we're here.
Three.
We're queer.
And we have a podcast.
That's the new description. We're here. Yeah, we're queer. And we have a podcast.
So, yeah, I'm sold. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. I got my Nilla wafers. I'm one polar seltzer into the night.
Ooh, into the unknown.
Into the unknown.
And coming in from stage right, we have Stacey.
Ah, my name is Stax. I speak for the trees, and I'd love to watch the Lorax with you, please.
Yeah. So good.
And coming in from stage left, we have Keithikins.
Some people say I'm a messy drunk. Okay, so we got the taglines out of the way, and
I'm into it. How are you?
I am doing well. It was a busy work day, but got through it. Here we are.
Look at that.
I wanted to ask you about your night, because last night I'm blindsided around 11 o'clock, probably, that person, you know, you had the breakup with in episode one. You guys had a little ice cream soiree tonight.
If you were gonna say date, I was gonna reach through this podcast recording device.
I almost said date, but then I stopped myself and I said soiree, which is an even better word.
Let's just call it an ice cream social. That's what I went to.
So you were in a cafeteria with a bunch of depressed middle schoolers and even more depressed parents? Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Like,
actually?
Perfect way to describe it.
Seriously?
No, so, okay, so yeah.
Okay, tell me this. I don't know how tonight went, so I want to know. I mean, everyone tuned in to episode one, and now you're here for episode three. Thank you. So here's a continuity. We last left off. They texted Stacey the next day or later that night? The next day. It was the next day. Stacey this long text, and Stacey was like, oh, I'm just not going to reply right now. And then last night, ice cream social, apparently. So, Stack, how is the follow-up post-breakup?
So basically, it was very minimal talking, but they had sent me that very long text apologizing for how they acted, which is true. They did not act well during the breakup. And they were like, no, I'm good to be friends. So basically, they had texted me before I had gone to Philly to go see my friend for the weekend. And they're like looking forward to hearing about it, just basically wishing me well on the new job. And so I casually texted them once I got back after the new job started, and was just like super casual. And so we've been able to keep it that casual, like, ability to have a conversation super platonically. And we had talked about an ice cream spot, but none of them were open, and it's their favorite ice cream spot. And finally, one of them opened after this COVID thing started to dissipate in terms of phases. So like one of the places opened up, and they had casually said something. And I was very, very truthful when I said, I want to be friends with this person. So I took it as an opportunity to see if we could do that. You know, why not? And so I was like, so are you saying that you need an ice cream buddy? Cause I need to finally try this ice cream. And they're like, you know what? Yeah, absolutely.
So you initiated it. Go on.
I did, because I also was the one who said that I wanted to be friends. And I thought, no better time than now to figure out if we can, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And why do I feel the look right now that you have in your face? I feel it. I can sense it.
I have not the foggiest. I am sitting here with my cup of chamomile tea doing a crossword puzzle.
Shady
Settling
bitch.
down for the night. I've been okay. Let's take a poll. Podcast listeners, did you feel I was being abrasive in my silence of letting Stacy tell a story?
Did
Vote
I say
now.
abrasive?
You said I
No.
could feel the glare. So head over to Twitter,
I
Keith Z9. I'm gonna run a poll.
Anyways. But no, so then, and also I really wanted ice cream, and so I was like, why not? Let's go. And I had the perfect out because if it didn't go well, like I knew I had to be home at a certain time to talk to you anyways. And it was
Are
just
you
like
saying like it
super
was like a favor? Like we had this planned.
No,
That's
I'm
how you made
saying
it sound. But go
no.
on.
We're taking a poll. Everyone reach out. Did I sound in any way? Anyways, so we ended up going to the ice cream place and on top of it, I wanted to drive, get out of the house, like, 'cause now I have a car. So we ended up going. The ice cream was pretty good. And we just like caught up. We hadn't seen each other. And no better time to figure out if we can be friends than now, just rip the band-aid off. Because if it didn't go well, I could have easily said, you know what? It didn't go well. Calling it quits, whatever. But the funny part is how like it was so much more fun hanging out with them today and spending the little bit of time that we did just catching up and getting to talking about what we've been up to. And I had so much more fun today interacting with them than I did in like a while when we were like kind of talking. So it was super nice. It was like there was less pressure, and honestly, like I think we're better off as friends. But anyways, we get there, and this is what I wanted to tell you earlier. And so I'm the type of person who, with my friends, and I've done this with you, Keith, I just buy things if we're out together. Like if I'm the one who says, let's go do something, and I invite you along with me, I most of the time pay for it if it's something small, you
So,
know?
like a peace tea, right?
Like a peace tea,
Okay,
one would say. Yeah, you know, like especially like the really cheap $1 kind, you know?
Yeah, episode one tie-in for fans of the
Continuity.
Yes, okay.
And so basically, like that's what I did. And I just like paid for it. Also, I was first in line and I wanted to get out of there because we were inside to get it and I just wanted to be outside again. And then they casually said jokingly, which was hilarious in the moment. I literally laughed as hard as I could have. They were like, you don't have to pay for me because you feel bad. And I lost it. And they like did it too jokingly to show that we could laugh about it, you know, which was like funny. And I was like, no, I'm just being a nice person. They're like, it's okay. When my other person broke up with me, like they just paid for the drinks all the time and I wasn't gonna say no. But and then so we went outside and we were talking again. And they actually said to me, which was really interesting, they were talking about what they're like currently doing and stuff with work, and they had said something because I asked two people. There was like no seating, and these two people had two chairs next to them. I was like, "Hey, are you guys using these chairs?" And they wanted to like go sit somewhere else and find us. I was like, "No, there's two chairs here. Let's ask for them." And then they go, "Oh yeah, I forgot. You're not afraid of people." And I was like, "No, I'm not." So I asked the two chairs. I brought them over, and they're like, "Yeah, I forgot that you're not afraid of people." And they're like, "And you know what? It really hit me because you gave me a firm kick in the butt when I really needed it." And I was like, oh, wow, gross. And they even said, they were like, yeah, you gave me a firm, like, kick in the ass when I needed it and put some things in perspective for me, and I appreciate it. And I was like, oh, shit. So I think a friendship, I'm not saying like we're gonna be best friends, all that stuff, but it was a nice time. We did get ice cream, we chatted, and it was super casual. We laughed a lot. And you know, I think it went well, but also I thought it was really nice when they had said, you know, well, you gave me a real like swift kick in the butt and put something in perspective. I was like, wow, Okay, well, I'm glad I was able to do that kind of thing for you, and I'm very glad we're friends, and I didn't say really anything back after that. I just thought about it. So we'll see, but it was some good ice cream, and we chatted, and then I drove them home because I had the car anyways, and I had to drive past their place to go home, and it was super chill. So, yeah.
All right.
What?
No, that's cool. I mean... Sounds like they said exactly what you wanted to hear. So that's good.
Okay, I did.
Hey, I just called it like I sees it. I would have been like, wow, this huge shift happened in a week and a half. Damn, you are confident. Now, can you go ask those people for the chair, please?
Oh.
But no, that's great. I mean, friends are cool.
Well, I had an interesting night, but I hear that you had an interesting night last night.
Oh, that sounds sexual, but it's
I mean,
not.
I really don't know what I'm getting myself into.
No, I texted you like kind of earlier about it, but I didn't go into full detail.
No.
I'm having an experience of the paranormal type.
And?
It's creepy. So I'm reading this book. I don't think I texted you a picture, but it's called The Unleashed. And it's by Danielle Vega. And this is her sixth, like, horror book. And I have all of them. She's a great author, very descriptive. This is a sequel to her book called The Haunted. And I read that, like, last fall. And it was really good. And then I found out a sequel was coming out this summer. I was like, I gotta get it. So I'm almost done with it, and I started it this weekend. It's fantastic, but basically the plot of it, spoiler alert if you haven't read The Haunted by Danielle Vega, turn off the podcast right
now.
Or
wait, turn it off and wait until Keith's Bookstagram post
right.
off of this.
Yeah, that'll be coming this week, don't worry. So basically in this sequel to The Haunted, this girl in the first one like moves to town. Her name is Hendrix, which I kind of like for a girl's name. I think it's unique, Hendrix. And her family moves there and they move into this like house called the Steel House, like S-T-E-E-L-E. And it's like haunted as fuck and all this paranormal shit goes down. They found out like these kids were like murdered like in the cellar and stuff like... Bad shit. I'm like, why they didn't disclose that when they bought the house, I'll never know.
But I mean, anyway, if it didn't happen in the past 7 years, they're legally not obligated to it.
Wow, I didn't know that fact.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was longer than that. So anyway, at the end of the first one, there's like this, the house like freaks out. Like Hendrix is like having this party and like the house catches on fire and all this crazy shit happens. And this gothic guy that she was dating for literally, like, a month, like, he gets killed, like, by a ghost, basically. So that's kind of, like, how it ends. It kind of left, like, open-ended because she was like, oh, I'm going to try to, like, communicate, like, with Eddie. Like, I want to talk to him again, like, blah, blah, blah. So that's the end of the first one. So this one, it's, like, 3 months later. Hendrix is still, like, so sad that Eddie died. I'm like, okay, you guys dated a month. Like, it's okay, but it's fine. So she wants to like communicate with the other side to like talk to Eddie. And I'm like, oh, she shouldn't be doing this. So she tries to, and she has this like gothic friend who owns like a magic shop who helps her. And she doesn't summon Eddie back. She summons this like demon ghost, basically, by accident. So then shit starts going like really bad like around town and this like mystery kind of like unravels on who it is. It's honestly a fantastic book. But anyway, I have like 40 pages left. So like I said, I started it this weekend. Sunday night, I read like a shit ton that day and I'm settling into bed. Everything's shut down like in my place. Like I just wanted to read a little bit before I sleep. And I'm reading... And from the kitchen, I hear, like, a slam. Stacy, I literally, like, levitated, like, out of bed. Like, I jumped, but, like, while laying down, like, I, like, flew, like, because of course, like, of course, I'm in the middle of reading like a horror book, and that happens. So I'm like, I push it out of my head. I'm like, I'm not going out to see what that was right now. I was like, I'm just gonna like check in the morning. I go out in the kitchen Monday morning. This magnetic like notepad that's been in my fridge for like a year, maybe, was on the ground. And wouldn't you think, like, if a something held up by a magnet, like, fell off the fridge, like, wouldn't you think it would, like, slide down?
I mean, the only other explanation I have to hold this against of magnets falling off fridge is in Stranger Things. When, like, they, like, fly off the fridge. That. Yeah.
That's season
when, like,
one,
the...
isn't it?
Season three.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
But no, you're right, because that's the only other time I can think of it. Like, if it slides, it means it's got, like, it's heavy. Like, it, you know, it still holds its magnetism, and it just slides usually to the ground, but
you would need never to, like, knock it off. Like, it fell. Like, it, and I heard it, too.
Yeah, and on top of that, if it stayed up for how long before?
Like, literally, it's been, like, a year. Like, it's just been on my fridge. So, that happened. And I was just like, you know what? I'll call it a fluke. Let's move on. So let's go to last night.
Oh, no.
Lovers Quarrel. Shout out Gaga, Art Pop. I read more before bed last night, and it was just getting late. And I was like, I have to get up early for work. Like, I'm just going to try to go to bed. I am tossing, and it's just one of those nights I'm tossing and turning and tossing and turning. I didn't even want to look at what time it was. But, so, like, all my lights are off. Like, my fan was going, but it was running, like, all night, basically. So, this does not factor into anything. So, I'm, like, on my side, and something, like, slams on the floor in my bedroom.
Shut up.
Swear to God. I'm, like, and I just lay, I was, like, I'm not going to look at what it was. I'm not going to look at what it was. And then I, of course, turn my light on to look at what it was. I had, a Kroger bag on my desk, and there was, like, a few, like, medium-sized things in it. It wasn't, like, I don't know. But it's been on my desk for sincerely, like, a week or two. And I turned my light on, and the bag was on the floor. It fell.
Oh. Keith, here's the crazy thing, too. Remember when we were FaceTiming, like, when we first started doing our movies, and you were just, like, sitting there with me on FaceTime, and that box in your dining room.
Yeah, like, it just slipped, fell. Yeah.
And it just fell, and we had to sit there and rationalize it. This immediately made me think of that, and I have chills now.
I forgot about that.
Because that it's not the first time that this has happened.
I'm just trying to hopefully say, like, it's nothing, like, evil. You know what I mean? Because I never have, like, bad vibes, like, in my place. Like, I feel like it's pretty chill. So, I don't know. I've always kind of been, like, open to that stuff. So, they say, like, if you are open, like, more sensitive to those kind of things, making their presence known, like, it can happen. But the fact that, like, it happened two nights in a row, and, of course, I'm reading this book about summoning demons and shit, like...
But that might be why, because, like, it's more on your front of your mind. And like you said, if you're more open, it happens.
Yeah.
And so you're open to it. You're reading it. You're getting enthralled by it. You're putting that energy out there. And the energy you put into the world is the energy that you receive.
There you go.
So, I mean, if anything, if it is spiritual, it sounds like it's just trying to get your attention.
So, I'll keep you posted. Hopefully when I finish the book, you know, maybe it'll stop, but I could
so,
totally...
like, read as quick as possible and, like, get the book done.
Right. It's a racing in time. The demon is coming closer, and I'm just turning the pages.
What if that's the whole thing with the book, to give you a different experience? She, like, writes it in
there
to, like, summon
stuff.
Something?
No, there is stuff like that, though. That's probably why. I'm like, bitch, probably
that's probably
this
why.
Doesn't even realize that's going to open up all these portals and shit.
Okay, but listen, remember, like, all of those, like, movies, all of the stories from sets of movies that use actual, like, exorcisms and Latin and all that stuff? They end up having a shit ton of paranormal stuff. Exactly. Yeah. So if that shit is in the book, you're probably fucking summoning something by reading it and manifesting it out there. And she's like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm gonna give my readers the ride of a lifetime.
I'm gonna give my readers some 3D, something really to be scared about, baby.
Literally, you should put that in your bookstagram review of it and see what she says.
I'm like, at Danielle Vega, you literally opened up a portal to haunt my condo. Thanks. That's it. That's the review.
Like, Danielle Vega is the Cat in the Hat bringing that giant ass box and opening it.
Oh my God. That's such a good analogy.
Thank you.
Almost so good of an analogy that it segues us into our topic.
Our topic for tonight
is the Lorax. Oh, I didn't know if we were doing like every other word, but we kind of dropped off that.
We just roll with it. But I feel like we should also kind of describe what type of episode this is. You know, like we should, you know, give some insight into why we're calling it a drink along.
A drink along. Do you want to? Or do you want me to?
Sure. No, I mean, I can. So, you know how we were talking. Be my guest. Okay. So I think it was on the first podcast we talked about how Keith and I would every Tuesday find a movie, and most of the time before we even watched the movie, we would come up with drinking rules. And we talked about this, the rules that we would create and how we're going to sell this on our Patreon, the coffee table book of all of the rules we've collected over our vast movie watching. And the genres are just expansive. So we decided to... the best movie of the series. But anyways, we wanted to... give you guys a glimpse into kind of what it was and take you along for the ride. So if you guys want to play along with your watching of the Lorax, you can, because we're going to make the rules up together now on the podcast, but then you can follow those rules on your own time. The Lorax is on Netflix. Hey, sponsor me, because I love Danny DeVito and I love the Lorax. But also at the same time, we think it would be a nice little way to theme some of our episodes so we can do more of these drink alongs and potentially even like do drink alongs that you guys suggest or pick movies that you guys think would be excellent for this type of thing. So yeah, this is our first drink along, and this is with, I think it's my favorite movie, but I think it's pretty up there for you too. I think it's in like your top five.
And
it's there. The Lorax. It's the Lorax. What we connected on in college more than anything else.
Literally. We watched the Lorax in college. What was our peak for it? Like 2013, probably?
Yeah, I mean, end of 2012, early 2013.
Yeah, all we watched was the Lorax.
All we watched.
Like, so much. Like, we listened to the soundtrack. I distinctly remember Stacey and I texting at like 2 or 3 a.m. one night, and it turned into us analyzing like the Lorax songs. And I was like, only fucking us would be up at 3 a.m. texting about like symbolism in the Lorax.
Sober too.
So
sober.
Completely sober.
Completely sober. Oh my God. This movie is probably one of the best adaptions of a Dr. Seuss story. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna hands down say it.
Yeah,
like, well, the casting. I mean, we're talking animated, okay? We can't compare the original Grinch or Cat in the Hat to.
Oh, true. I didn't think about that.
You know, but animated, like the casting. Mm-hmm. Phenomenal. The story, phenomenal. Mm-hmm. The liberties they took to expand on it, phenomenal. Beautiful. The music, the soundtrack.
Yep, all of it.
All of it. It's the
animation,
total package.
Like,
it's beautiful. Right. So with the Lorax,
we obviously know it like really fucking well. So let's try to come up with some rules here, and then we just follow those during the movie. I got my pen and paper here. I am known as the writer between the two of us.
The scribe.
Thank you. That was like the word I wanted to say.
I know.
No, well, it was that, or also the person who in a courtroom like writes everything down, like a transcriber or whatever.
Ooh,
That's kind of what I was
yeah.
going for. But your word worked very well too. So like if Stacey and I ever come up with something, she's always like, write it down. Write
Yeah,
it
'cause
down.
you know I don't have that commitment.
Stacey's like, I don't have a spiral notebook.
The fuck you mean? What is that?
What is this fucking 2004? Oh, luckily I do right in front of me, so
Okay, so they're always in these. There's always the jokes that go over the kid's head. So is this the one that flew over the cuckoo's nest? Like, do we have that as a
yeah.
rule? Because there's always
Like
a
it's
joke.
that tied into like kind of like sexual innuendo, because generally they are kind of more like adult themed sexual kind of
Yes.
jokes that kids would not get at all. So
It's,
what
oh. It is titled It's Always Sunny in Phoenixville. That's the name of the rule. Anything that goes over a kid's head or that normally is sexually innuendo-ish. We're taking Danny DeVito's two greatest works, The Lorax and
Oh,
Always Sunny.
I didn't know where you're going with that for a split second. I was like, because it's kind of like a racier show. Like, I didn't really get the reference, but now I understand it and I fully approve of it. So let me write that down really quick.
Always Sunny in Phoenixville.
And generally, I always write down the rules and then Stacey has me take a picture of them and send it
Oh.
to her.
Yep.
I'll do that. I was thinking, I don't know if this would get us like fucked up too fast, only because of the opening song. But honestly, after the opening song, I feel like they don't say it that much. Like, drink every time they say Needville.
We would be, we would be. The
Locked
opening song
up.
would just do us in.
But they don't say Needville every other word. They start like each like lyric with like in Needville, but like it's not like.
And then by the end of it, when we're all sobbing and have to say it over and over again at the end of the movie, too. And I just think,
I'm
and
just
on
like
top of it,
chugging the last of the fifth, like sobbing,
literally.
literally. And well, let's not give it away for the people who haven't seen
Spoiler
the movie.
alert.
Spoiler.
Okay,
Okay,
I wanted these,
so not that. Okay.
but I mean, like, because I want to do something with the Sneed, but man, I can't think of anything with the Sneed that wouldn't fuck us up.
Because that's something they definitely say a lot.
Yeah. Pipsqueak! We need to do something with
Oh yeah,
Pipsqueak.
that's a little bear. How about Pipsqueak melts your heart? Okay, that's rule number two, everyone. Pipsqueak.
I was gonna do every time Pipsqueak's in danger, and it's called Pipsqueak's Peril.
Oh
But there's
my
really only like
God.
one
I know, and
scene
it, when
where.
you, I know exactly what scene you're talking about too. So how about it's like
Pipsqueak prevails.
yeah, because then we could do it as like that one specific scene, but
Because he
also
prevails.
because he prevails, but also when like you feel for him because he's so cute. But I
Yes,
don't know,
Pipsqueak
prevails is like a
prevails.
very okay.
Or we could do Pipsqueak.
Pipsqueak strikes emotion.
So, Pipsqueak patter, like your heart goes pitter patter for Pipsqueak.
Pipsqueak pitter patter.
Oh, Pipsqueak pitter patter.
Sold. One of our favorite ones Cece and I came up with before was we were watching it was the Grinch, the new animated one. And no, it was Moana. I lied. It was Moana. And one of our rules was just titled Animal Shenanimals. That could actually tie into this a little bit because there's animals in it.
So, like the entire movie, we'd be wasted.
I mean, isn't that the point of the Lorax Drink Along Episode 3 Two Hoots and a Holler
It's
podcast?
a it, just because it's your podcast doesn't mean
Doesn't
it's
mean it's
not
your
a
birthday.
Tuesday.
Oh my God, I'm done. Okay, so we have two rules so far. Let's keep it rolling here.
Lovable Lorax.
That's good. When your heart kind of melts for him.
Yeah, when you see, aww.
Lovable Lorax.
Teen
Angst with Zac Efron. Fuck,
yeah, but or we could do one to be like, I'd fuck the Onceler. I'd tap it once.
That's it. I'd tap it once. Well, no.
I'd tap it once.
Once and then some. That's the drinking rule. Every once time you're kind of sexually into the Onceler, take a sip.
The whole movie just guzzling my fucking drink.
Do you remember when Dr. BJPP was like so anti-Lorax, like hated it?
Oh, anti-Lorax.
And then like magically liked it suddenly. I'm like, okay. Oh,
because
the Onceler.
Exactly.
Once. Anyways. Okay, the rule could be called like once in a boner. Once in a.
Once in a boner. Because it's the Onceler.
How do you spell once? O-N-C-E or is it W?
Yes. It's no, O. It's O-N-C.
Bitch, you know fucking Dr. Seuss. He doesn't care about motherfucking spelling. How about simply once upon a boner? And we'll know. And yes. We'll know. Okay. I'm gonna have to pee before we start the movie, by the way.
Makes sense.
I know. I already had three white claws. Okay.
Our last rule has to be something like teen angsty with the kid.
Yeah, like the Zephron redhead girl story. I don't even remember. Oh, Taylor Swift, but I don't know her name in the movie.
We could do like Teen Troubles, man. Teen Troubles.
Yep.
He's got a lot of troubles in this.
Yep.
And I'm talking like
Troubles teen with troubles a Z.
Yes. Even make it cringier, make it tween troubles.
All right, that is five rules. Let me just recap them really quick for the kids at home. Number one, it's always sunny in Sneedville. Two, pipsqueak pitter patter. Three, lovable Lorax. Four, once upon a boner. And five, tween troubles. All right, we got it. Let's start this movie.
You ready?
I accidentally hit play. I'm in 5 seconds.
No, it's okay. It's good because it's easier for you to sync up if you're ahead of me.
Right. Tell me when you hit play. Three, two. Do like the start the like with it. Be like dun 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 dun.
Okay. No, I can't find it. Hold on. Okay. And
that's the intro to our podcast. I'm gonna do it.
Yes.
Seriously, I'll do it. The bear. The hair.
Do we have it already?
This is what opened our first episode, this music.
Hey, buddy. Thanks for coming. My name is Lorax. I speak for the trees. And I'd like to say a few words, if you please, regarding the story that you're about to see. Just take it from me. While I set the stage. Lovable Lorax, drink to it. And they liked it
that way. Still trying to line up.
Not one living tree. So what happened to them? Cue the music.
Let's see.
When the song comes on, it'll actually help me because I know the song really well. Yes.
The inflatable everything.
Everything. The Lorax! I need to take a picture of this. Everyone, check out my Snapchat story. Cat Kisacha on Snapchat. Yeah. This is one of, like, the best songs in any movie, to be honest.
It is. And if they did the stage version of this, oh.
I'd actually be very good. You would choreograph the shit out of that.
Thank you. That's the highest honor I could ever do.
You would, though. Brand new cars and houses and lawns. We've got all that we need, Bill. Deep down, we love you, touch your eyes.
You and use his magic battery.
Wait, can you not sing along for a sec just so I can hear it? Got it! Yes! We're lined up. Alright, podcast listeners. Buy it fresh. Satisfaction guaranteed, Bill. Oh, I have to drink for the Lorax. I was too busy lining up the movie.
Remember when this was my, like, ringtone for the longest time?
I do. And then I remember that I made my ringtone Rich Man's Krug, and then a week later, you fucking copied off of me, and I called you out on it. Oh, there's a pervert looking at the girls.
There you go, drink to it.
Oh, look, he's checking out their asses. Everyone always listening along, I really hope you enjoy the Lorax, because we're going to be in for a journey.
Oh, look, it's me!
This is Stacey. Like, literally, Stacey's entire energy.
A way to sell air. Came a zillionaire!
They cut out his, like, solo.
I know. Which I
don't get, but it's okay.
Ready? Here we go.
Yeah, you gotta do the fist bump.
It's perfect.
Boom, boom. I feel like you compared me to this guy at the end in the white overalls before.
Yep.
Yep. Except I can't do the splits. Oh, that's... They do. Corona would be rampant in Pneedville. Quote me on that.
Oh, yes.
Quote me. And then the beginning of our podcast will be like, and we'll find out why Keith said this. And it cuts to me saying, Corona would be rampant in Pneedville. It would.
I mean, they literally, like, live almost in a bubble.
Right. And then they just spit all over each other.
Literally. They just spit all over each other. He's leaving town. No one ever leaves town.
So instead of describing what's going on, you're just saying the lines? Well, is this a live performance of the Lorax?
I mean, isn't every performance of the Lorax a live performance with me every time I watch it?
It's true.
Okay, so he's riding his little motorcycle over the twists and turns. He's in between the two walls of the outside world and the inside, and he's seeing all this smog and grossness, and the camera's spotted him. Games? I mean, pretty much. It's post-apocalyptic because of you-know-who. He looks at the completely barren wasteland in front of him. Wow, that's deep. Because on the inside, Pneedville looks so nice. And he's seeing, oh, all of the cut down trees.
How bad can I be?
How bad can I be?
I'm just doing what comes naturally.
Oh, that's terrifying.
I know.
Well, Tween Troubles. He's about to get decapitated, going through a little... field of...
Oh, it's one of the chopping machines. Did you notice that?
Foreshadowing. Yeah.
You're like, did I notice that? I fucking wrote the screenplay, you fool.
Enjoy your ice cream, David.
Oh, enjoy your little ice cream, David. Yeah, before Stacey went on her ice cream social, I texted her, Oh, enjoy your little ice cream, David.
Oh, and he just did a... He on X Games mode.
He's on this whole other level that no one will ever be at.
I mean, especially on this, like, version of a unicycle that's, like, motorized and... Wow, he's at the... Oh, this is where the ghosts live.
You mean the ghosts in my condo?
Exactly. The street of the lifted Lorax. Get it lifted? He lifted himself.
Oh,
the lifted Lorax. Yeah.
You did fucking write this movie. Or at least fucking get a co-credit and something.
I mean, unless... And it's a tombstone.
Oh,
to remember him by. Because that's what tombstones are for.
Yeah.
So good. Oh. I'd say these are some tween troubles. Going up to a creepy house. And. Is he going to ring the doorbell? And he does.
I'd say this is tween troubles.
And sledgehammer up. This is teen troubles if I've ever seen it.
But is it specifically related to being a tween or just this random event?
Well, I mean, like, he is a tween and his only motivation is to get the girl. And that's a trouble.
Sha-la-la-la-la-la, I'm dead, my I'm oh dead. My, I think the boy's too shy, ain't gonna
kiss the girl. Oh, here we go. And now our friendship can begin. Hand to hand and wing and fin.
Like, I know every lyric, every harmony.
Killing, almost killing all of the animals.
So basically, the Onceler swoops in, drops very dangerous items,
and almost kills every forest creature.
I mean, a little earlier than he planned.
The goose is, like, hitting that
bat. The goose is loose.
The goose is loose.
That's a bonus rule. That's an unwritten rule.
The fucking egg beater? Oh, the marshmallows.
Oh, yeah. This is
the
so
bear
cute.
Goes in and...
Boom! Marshmallows fly all over the animals. But they're into it.
This has the same vibes as the Cat in the Hat on the swing set. Oh, here it goes. So all of the forest animals are around the trunk of the tree. He's got an axe. He wields it and chop. And the birds are flying. The music is getting... Oh, a little pipsqueak.
Oh,
got a drink for pipsqueak.
Drimp for pipsqueak. That's it. That's the rule.
Boom. That's the rule. He dropped the entire thing and all of the forest animals fled. They're just looking at a stump. He doesn't know what's going on. He tries to lift it up and carry. He summoned the all-powerful, slightly annoying, the trees. The Lorax. And now all of the... Oh! He just popped out of that tree trunk.
Oh, he's so upset.
Lovable Lorax.
Chug.
Drink.
Oh, we never added chug to any of them.
No, we'd be drunk. Oh, look at him. So now all the forest animals are looking at him longingly, and he's building a grave around the tree with rocks. And they're bringing him... Pipsqueak! Drink for Pipsqueak.
I just took a big-ass gulp for Pipsqueak.
And now all of them are bringing up little rocks to show their solidarity of being chopped down. Big bear brings tiny rock. Tiny fish brings big rock. Oh, let it grow. This is the motif of Let It Grow.
It's...
That you will hear later. And they're holding hands all around it. The Onceler's. Look at that booty.
You're sick.
That's the ghost in your house just showing up every time you go into a different room.
Literally, like the like I have, I walk out into the living room and it's like written in blood on my wall. It says like, finish the book.
It says, unless. He's reaching, he's too short for the door handle. Thanks. Been warned. Danny DeVito was the only person who could play this part.
Well, he's coming back for Hercules, so that's good.
He better.
He is. It was announced.
Okay, good. And also, they're redoing Matilda on Netflix, but they're doing the musical version, and he better come back for Wormwood. Kiss him, kiss him. Okay, this fantasy, this little wet dream he has of him kissing Audrey. He's like a tween. She's like 16. It's definitely not okay. But he brought her a tree, so therefore she's got to kiss him. Oh! Ted, Tedster, you're kissing the cereal again, hon. Did you notice how the mom and grandma are wearing like the same outfits, but like hers has a smaller collar with the light pink where grandma's is longer, but they're wearing the same cardigan and hair to show she's slowly turning into her. And grandma has blue eyeshadow and she has blue earrings. So basically, grandma had a whole plan so that, what's his name? How do I forget his name all the time? Because he's like
Ted,
the least important character. Ted, yes, Ted. So he can go and see the Onceler again. For somehow, grandma knows about the Onceler, like, really well.
A little too well.
A little too well, you know what I mean? But anywho.
You sound like her acting teacher, Lene, from college.
You know wish. What
I mean. That's a little too and, much, if you will. Okay.
Oh, bo. And so then, next thing you know, he's trying to leave. And who stops him? Aloysius O'Hare and his two fucking henchmen. He comes out of his little car with them, like, making the stairs with his hands because he's so little. He's like, I got eyes everywhere. And then Ted finds out Big Brother is always watching. So he somehow makes it out of town again to go to the Onceler. And the Onceler's like, oh, great. You're doing this because of a girl. He's like, no. He's like, well, if a guy does something stupid once, it's because he's a guy. But if he does two stupid things, then it's because there's a girl. And, you know, they talk about Audrey and all of that. And then we find out, they start talking about the story again. And now, the Lorax decided to put the Onceler in his bed. Typical, typical parent trap situation where they 100%. Put the bed in the water. But here's the issue. We've now come to Pipsqueak is on the bed, folks. Drink.
But also, like, there's a very specific subcategory. Obviously, a lot of people have, like, fucked up fetishes with the Onceler, a.k.a. you. But in the, you're like, oh, yeah. But in the scene when he was in his pajamas and stuff, it showed his feet, like, a lot. So, like, the foot fetish.
Yeah.
Onceler lovers. Oh, my God.
They're probably going crazy about it.
Field day.
Can I love how they do an infomercial for this. So great.
Can we just flash back to foot fetish Onceler lovers?
Foot fetish Onceler lovers, the subgenre. We need to ask Dr. PJ, BJ, PP about it.
But sidebar.
He just did an entire infomercial for the Thneed, and now he's going to go to town and sing about it.
Oh, sure.
Oh, everybody needs a Thneed. See, if we said Thneed, we'd be shit-faced if we drank to the word Thneed.
I know, but it's only really come up in this one.
Well, Thneedville isn't... The Thneed is great. Oof. No one likes him. Nope. Or the fourth or fifth day. He's out there everywhere, and they all are throwing tomatoes at him. He's just trying to make it as a small business owner, you know?
Mm-hmm.
He's just an entrepreneur. It's a super trendy hat. It's a tightrope for an acrobat.
That was a very solid Russian accent. So we haven't done a Lorax recap in a while. Basically, the Onceler is selling his needs. And everyone is very into the nun just like did a grand jeté.
I'm so proud of you.
Thank you. I'm proud of myself. So now the Wensler is obviously going to start getting greedy because he has all this money in his hands. Did you know, scientific study, that even the feeling of, like, holding money, like a stack of money or something in your hands, like, releases endorphins?
What?
Yeah, it's true. Look it up.
Wow, I'm going to have to look that up because that's crazy to me.
But it makes sense, though.
I mean, it does in the society that we've painted, 100%.
You're cut off.
I'm only halfway through number three.
Oh, I didn't even know you were on three. Good for you, David.
Thank you. She's prettier than... Oh, we've all had that family member that embarrasses us in front of our crush.
Don't we all?
Oh my God, Audrey got her new paint to paint more, and she comes to the back of her house. And all of Hearth Need trees have been... Truffy the trees... have been painted over by O'Hare Air.
O'Hare Air.
O'Hare Air has welded the emergency hatch shut. So Ted needs to get creative. I think this is a tween trouble.
Okay, I'll drink to that. And I'm almost done with five.
Wow, I'm so proud of you. Oh, and his fucking ratchet-ass family comes. I don't like them. They piss me off.
The fish.
Oh, that goes over kids' heads. That's a callback to, I believe, Family Vacation.
To Griswold Family Vacation?
Mm-hmm.
I fucking love those movies, dude.
Drink.
Yeah, his family doesn't make sense. Like,
Griselda.
I'm naming my firstborn
Griselda. Oh my God. But here's the thing. Grisabella the Glamour Cat is the cat in Cats who gets to go to the Heaviside Lair. Oh, and he sits on his face. Kids won't get that either. Drink. It's always sunny in Phoenixville. See, here's the thing. The family didn't like him, and now they come back, and even the Lorax sees it. Oh, she's wearing a fucking real fur. So there's that. That's the kind of people that the Wensler's family are. The mom comes in, totally fake, just wants money, wearing a full, like, literal hide of an animal. The dad is, like, making out with the son, holding real too close to his neck, and the brothers are just idiots. There's that. Don't even get me started on that. But they're only there for money. And they come in and they just start destroying everything.
Well, he probably needed, like, a catalyst to, like, destroy more.
Well, that's the whole thing. They start off being fine. You see, this shows how little they care about the environment when they open up the trailer and all the house and it pulls and pushes all the truffula trees and it shows them pushing them down. That's foreshadowing.
Well, I mean, yeah, especially when she shows up, they show up and run down all the trees and that poor fish is in the grill.
Literally. And then they just put the satellite up and hit the bird. And look, the Lorax is the only one saying no. He's saying, you gotta go, goodbye.
And then the aunt says, who's this giant furry peanut?
And the animal that doesn't love the animal that doesn't winds up someone else's. A la 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 lunch. Munch.
How bad? Yeah, I bet the ant munches.
Oh, I'd munch. How bad can I be? Oh, and they're throwing up the axes and they're just, oh, he says no. How bad can I be? How bad can I possibly be?
The ant is riding the prophet going up.
There's the people with the
Griselda,
money.
Griselda, the ugliest
thing. World go round. And I'm gonna be hungry. I'm bigger in my factory. I'm bigger in my corporate sign.
And me, I'll take care of
my mind.
shake that bottom bar. Oh, so of course the aunt has like the fucking baritone bass ass.
Slap a leash. No. How bad can I be? And he has all of this money. He changes out of his fucking clothes. Oh, it's not a puppy. It's Pipsqueak.
Oh. See, this is so true, though. Like,
how bad can it possibly be? Let's see. Oh, here we go. And the customers are buying. And the bunny's multiplying. And the poor people are lying. And the woman is just denying. Who cares if a few trees are dying? How bad? This is terrifying.
I know. I'd be scared if I was a child.
But that's the whole point. They were trying to do that.
Yeah, they're trying to scare the kids of capitalism. Good job, Dr. Seuss.
It's disgusting because it is. No ethical consumption. Mm-mm. And we're talking about... Oh, look at them.
Oh my god. So now all the animals are like dead, basically.
The bird has no feathers.
The bird has no feathers.
The fish are covered in... Did you see how they were the three and then there's only two now? One of them had to have died because of the pollution. That's why one of them was shaking.
Yeah.
They were just so scarred. This chase scene is fucking iconic. Can we just be honest with this? Like, no, when Grandma uses her hook just now to get the little water air containers, get it unstuck. That's what she said.
That's what she said.
You know? And Grandma goes...
Grandma would get a cervical fracture so easily. Oh, I wish that just like broke Aloysius O'Hare's arm.
I mean,
with that amount of force, it probably would.
Probably.
Because they're obviously going very fast. And if Audrey and Grandma, pardon me, are on the bike right now, why did Ted say to Audrey earlier, like, meet me there?
Exactly.
Like, obviously there's enough room on your little mono wheel bike. Oh, I'm sorry, unicycle.
Whatever it is.
I mean, I don't know what the technical term for that would be, probably because it doesn't fucking exist.
Well, you know, you know what we could do? Segways. We could create a The Lorax wiki page.
The Lorax wiki page.
And, oh, Aloysius cracks the ground.
Oh, what? And this is symbolism. What do they say? Heads will roll.
Mm-hmm.
They broke O'Hare's head.
Right next to his head.
He has India teeth.
He does. Let me look at his gums.
They're filthy. This is my new monologue. Oh.
Hi, my name is Stack Rap, and I'll be performing Aloysius O'Hare from The Lorax.
Think about the kids. Just... They make leaves. You know that, right? These leaves, they just fall. And they fall wherever they want.
The guy passed out in the background.
How come I've never noticed that before?
I don't think I did either. Probably because you're so wrapped up in doing his monologue.
It's called photosynthesis.
Shut up, Taylor Swift.
She's making that up. Perfect. Just the way it is. We don't need trees. That boy has a seed. We need to stop him. Who's with me? Come on. Oh. Wow. Oh. Smart thinking Ted. So he gets in his little bulldozer.
And he has the smart idea to not cause any harm to people or anything, but to take that bulldozer up and hit that wall.
He's like, now is the time.
Time to tear it down. Needville is literally crumbling. Like, the sign is crumbling as we speak.
That symbolism, Needville is crumbling.
And everyone can see the world outside the wall. The trees cut down. Wow. Did you see that? Who does this kid think he is, huh? I am Ted Wiggins. I speak for the trees.
I remember that.
I'm gonna cry.
I know you're gonna cry.
Unless we change our ways. Ah. Ah. Chills. I have chills. The truffle of tree seed is opening up. Showing everyone the tree. I have chills. Change my point of view. Nah, I say let it die. Let it die. let it die. Let it shrivel up and die. Nobody. You greedy dirtbag. Let the love inside you show. Let the seed inside the earth. Just one way to know its worth. Celebrate the world's rebirth. We say let it grow.
And look, they're building the rocks around it like the first seed that was chopped down. And they're using it as a way to build the first tree.
Now it's just one tiny seed. But it's all we really need. Oh, they're showing the ones where
he's using his axe to chop down his window.
He's cutting it down. This be our song? Oh, look out. Oh my god, he's tearing up.
Thank you, Ted.
Thank you, Ted, he said.
We say let in Cleveland. We say let it grow.
It's a brand new.
We say let it grow. We say let
it's a brand new dawn. You know what? I'm just gonna say, I'm sure fucking Aloysius O'Hare had some like crazy fowlers. So what's stopping them from like coming out in the middle of the night and chopping down that tree, you know?
But obviously they didn't, because look, it's growing all over with the oncer now. And he looks at the unless he's talking out.
Doesn't the ghost of the Lorax appear?
Look at him. He's watering his little trees.
He's like, I learned.
Here the animals are starting to come back. The bird.
He hasn't changed his outfit in years.
It's the same outfit. And he's wearing a sneed, ironically.
Look at him.
This is the demon descending to haunt my place.
Look at him. I'm crying. They're so happy to see each other. You done good, Beanpole. You done good, pig. You done good.
You done good.
And he hugs him.
He hugs him back.
By the way, nice mustache. They're just old friends. Unless someone like you cares a whole awful lot, nothing is going to get better. It's not. Ah, chills.
He was just... Oh, there's the three fish. One came back to life.
Listen.
One he fish, was so fish, ahead of fish, his
literally so ahead of his time talking about climate change and deforestation and industrialization and capitalism way before his time.
All right, so that's the end of this episode. We learned a lot, we grew a lot,
and we felt a lot.
Very true. It was a full spectrum of emotions. We have our rules, and this will be available on our ebook on Patreon. So subscribe to that. Reach out to us at Two Hoots and a Holler.
And let us know if there's any, you know, movies that you want us to do a drink along to create drinking game rules and test mm-hmm. out their effectiveness. Because obviously mm-hmm. these rules with the Lorax worked. I think I'm a testament to these rules are pretty, they work.
Yeah, we know. We know you are. So, these rules really work, kids. that wraps up episode 3. We're having a lot of fun doing this, and we hope everyone enjoys it. And tune in next week for episode 4.
Yes, tune in next week. Thank you guys so much for joining us on this journey, and we can't wait to see where next week takes us.
Yes. All right. I'll talk to you later, Thiedville.
Good night, Thiedville.
Good night, Onceler. I hope the Onceler sneaks into your dreams tonight.
How bad at can he be?
Let's find out.
Bye.
Bye.
I'd fuck the Onceler.